need of God as compared to an earthly father. Regardless of what your earthly father was like, you can't compare your earthly father with God. Many sometimes do that. You say, I can't trust him because I had a dad I couldn't trust. And yet God compares himself many times with an earthly father in the good sense. And so I want you to consider throughout this week and the next, the verses I'm going to introduce to you this afternoon. Next Sunday, we have a fellowship dinner. So 2 weeks from today, I hope to continue this. But maybe you could write these verses down and meditate on them in the meantime. And so God compares himself with earthly fathers in at least three ways. And I say in at least three ways. These are the three ways that I found out. And here's the three ways. God compares himself with an earthly father in the way, number one, he chastens us. Number two, in the way he answers us. Number three, in the way he pities us. In the way he chastens, answers, and pities us. It's that third one that I want to get to in 2 weeks, but we'll introduce today. And it's really the crux of what brings me to this topic. But this afternoon, let's look at two of those before I introduce you to the third. God compares himself with earthly fathers in the way he chastens us. That is the way he disciplines us, the way he rebukes us. Three passages. I'd like somebody please to volunteer to look up Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5. Stand and read it aloud. Brother Dave, thank you. I'd like somebody else please to look up Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. Stand up and read it out loud, somebody. Brother Brad, thank you. And so I'm going to get to the third one. I'd like you to turn to the third one. It's Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll read that together because it's a lengthy passage. So while we're turning to Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to hear the other passages read to us. So what we're looking at is God comparing himself to an earthly father in the way he disciplines us. Brother Dave, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5, please. So God very clearly says that as a father chastens, disciplines, perhaps rebukes his son, so does God. So God is giving us an earthly illustration of how a father will chasten his son. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, Brother Pierce. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Now we get to Hebrews chapter 12, to which most of you or all of you should have your Bibles open. We're going to read almost the same thing because the writer of Hebrews is quoting those passages in the Old Testament. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth or disciplines, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In other words, what son does not get disciplined by his father? Verse 8, but if ye without chastisement, whereof all are partakers... But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. That's a word for illegitimate children, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh, which corrected or disciplined us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. That's an interesting verse. They truly for a short time disciplined. As I look back over the years that we had Benjamin, Barak, and Jesse in the home, it's gone. That went so fast. Man, it sure was a long time while it was happening, though. Right, Brandy? Yeah, it seems like forever. But it just goes by so fast. You know what? You have just a short time to chasten them. You have a really short time. We're talking to Jesse, and Jesse was talking about how, you know, kids are so malleable. You can get them to do what they need to do. Wish you would have thought of this one, you know, like 14 years ago. But it's enlightening. You know what? Kids are whatever you discipline them to do. It's like this light bulb has come on. He's watching Benjamin discipline his kids. Right now he's living with Barak. And he's watching Judah and Zion. They're so impressionable. You can make out of them whatever you want. Yeah, and that's why we need to follow the Bible's instructions with our kids. For they, verily, for a few days, it's a short time that you have to chasten them after parents' own pleasure. That doesn't mean that we just have this great time discipline. It has to do for their own good. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Did you find verse 11 to be true when you were a child? Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Man, I sure didn't like it. But grievous. But here it is. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I'm curious, you don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you, when you came of age, when you became an adult, ever told your parents, thank you. Now I see it. Now I understand. I'll never forget the letter I got from Benjamin when he was in boot camp in Georgia. Thank you, Dad. You made me the soldier I am, something to that effect, to both me and to Juanita. Thank you. And then when he got onto Green Beret and he was being questioned by having these guys go before a psychologist. They go through so much to try to get it to become a Green Beret. And a Green Beret said, was looking at his notes and all the things, comments made about him. And he said, you had strict parents, didn't you? He goes, yeah. You had religious parents, didn't you? Yes. He knew. He could see what had been done in his life. And that so much the more made him appreciate the chastening he got. Now, folks, even as a father chastens the child because he loves him, understand something. God does the same. We, as his children, he loves us. We're his children. He loves us. And sometimes the difficult things we go through, which are so hard, it seems grievous, and yet it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness if we accept it in the way in which he gives it. So, God, like a father, chastens us. Number two, God, like a father, answers us. And I'd like us to go, please, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. There's a parallel passage in Luke 11, but I'll be doing the one in Matthew chapter 7. And obviously, this has to do with the way God gives us things and how he answers our prayers. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11 says this. If ye then, being evil, now that's evil compared to God who was good and there's no evil in him. So if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Do you know what's good for your kids? Do you know what is good for your grandkids? Do you know what was good for, do you remember as a child, do you know what was good for you? No. And in some ways, we treat God the same. We think that if I only had such and such, oh God, that would be so good. And he won't give it to you. He won't give it to you. Doesn't that just frustrate you? You've prayed for something time and again, and God doesn't give it to you. Lord, why don't you give it to me? We're going to try to answer that here. Look at verses 7 and following for the context. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? Now think about this. Whether or not God gives you something, and what he gives to you is regulated. God regulates it. In other words, he does not simply give indiscriminately. He does not just give you because you ask him. You say, but that seems to violate the verses previous to this. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. What do you mean? God gives to me discriminately. Well, notice what it says in verse 11. If you know how to give good gifts unto your children. When I said, do you know how to give good things to you? Do you know how to give things that are good for your children? You would say yes. As a child, I remember very vividly, and I'm sure you'll all understand this, telling my mom that when I grew up, all I was going to have in the freezer was ice cream, that's all. And in the refrigerator, it was going to be soda pop, that's it. I was going to live on ice cream and soda pop. So, if I were to ask my parents for something, what would it be for lunch, Adam? Ice cream. Michael, if I were to ask my parents for something to drink, what would I have asked them to give me to drink? Chocolate milk, yes. Chocolate milk. Isn't that what you would like to have all the time is chocolate milk? Ice cream, Adam, all the time? Now, if that's all you ever had, would you be good and healthy? No, not wrong. There you go. No, you wouldn't be healthy. You'd be a big balloon rolling all over the place because you wouldn't even have legs. You'd have so much fat on you. God doesn't give to us ice cream every time we ask for it. He doesn't give us chocolate milk every time we ask for it. He only gives us what's good for us. You know what's good for you? Broccoli. You know what's good for you, Michael? Cauliflower. You don't like it? You don't like cauliflower? Did you see his head twitch? Yeah. Cauliflower. Yeah, but that's what's good for you. And lima beans. You know what I used to do when my mom and dad would put lima beans on my plate? Don't you dare do this. I would take the lima beans when they weren't looking. I would hide them under the rim of my plate. And when it came time to clear the dishes, I would hear this from the kitchen. Danny, get in here. And there would be those lima beans. Go eat your lima beans. Why? My mom knew that lima beans were good for me. You know what? Sometimes we ask God for some things that aren't good for us. And God loves us so much, you know what he does? He says, no, you can't have all that chocolate milk and you can't have that ice cream. Because I know what's good for you. So sometimes the things that we ask for, God says, no, that's not good for you. My boys, when they were little, said, Dad, I want a gun. I want a rifle. I said, you're not old enough to have a rifle. You don't know how to shoot it, and you don't know what to shoot at. So I was very careful. But then one day, Benjamin turned age 12. How old are you, Adam? Right now, 8. You're not old enough for a gun yet. Maybe never will be. But when he turned 12, his grandfather gave him a 270. That's a really, really powerful rifle that could knock down an elk. Hunting rifle. Powerful. Because by that time, he was able to shoot it. Before that, he couldn't have it. He wanted it, but he couldn't have it. And as a father, it was my responsibility to determine, you know what, that's not good for you now, but one day it will be. All he got was a Red Ryder BB gun. And he didn't shoot his eye out. So you look at this passage, and God's giving to us is regulated by, look at verse 11 again, 7:11, is regulated by our relationship. Asking my heavenly Father means that I am his son and that he is indeed my father. It is also regulated by my request. God gives only good gifts. Good is determined by whom? Not the son, not the child. It's determined by the father. A child does not always know what is good for him. That word good means beneficial. The child does not always know what's beneficial to him. Are there things, let me ask you, that we ask God for that he would like to give us, but he knows that right now it's not good for us? Yeah. Verse 11. How much more shall your father? So God compares himself to an earthly father and says, now how much more? How much more? How much more? That's how we must read Matthew 7, 7 through 11. And so, how much more shall your father teaches that I am not expected to do more than God would. By our asking, by our seeking, by our knocking, we should always be honest enough to tell ourselves whether or not it would be good for us, not in a material or physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Why? Because our Father, who loves us, will only give us what is good for us. And very often, our own spiritual growth will give us the wisdom to stop asking, seeking, and knocking for things that aren't good for us. I've seen it happen. People ask God for a job. They insist he give them that job. And sometimes because we're belligerent and demand, not ask from God, he gives it. And you know what happens? That job starts taking them away from church. They got what they asked for. And then they start falling away from the Lord. And then they fall into all kinds of apathy and so forth. And then they wonder, well, how did I get here? How did this happen? No, because you demanded something one time. And instead of asking God, you demanded it. God compares himself with earthly fathers in the way he chastens us, in the way he answers us. Now, I'm not going to expound on this. I just want us to see it. The third thing, in the way he pities us. Let's look at that in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Look at verse 13. And here's that exact phrase, which is the title of this sermon. The first four words, like as a father. Let's finish that verse. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That's the verse that really caught my attention. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Let's read the context. Start with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place whereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So when we look at this again in 2 weeks, Lord willing, we're going to look at verse 13. We're going to see whom God pities. The answer, them that fear him. We're going to see how God pities. The answer, last part of verse 13, as a father pitieth his children. We're going to see why God pities. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Whom, how, and why? Father, may we